everyone. Welcome to Visible by Numbers. This is Allison, and thank you for joining us this evening. I'm really excited this evening because I have a really wonderful guest, Michelle Avanti. And before we get to talk to her, I'm going to tell you a little bit about her. Michelle is an award-winning author, journalist, and metaphysical minister. Her articles, columns, and feature stories have appeared in magazines and newspapers since 1985. Michelle has been both a guest speaker and MC on over 1,400 radio programs across the United States. She's a born psychic, and she's taught metaphysics since 1972. She's an ISAR-certified astrology professional and accredited by Bernadette Bradley as a fixed-star analyst. Analyst. There you go, Allison. She's counseled individuals in more than 15,000 sessions. Her concerns for healing our people in the world has led her to become an emotional freedom practitioner. Michelle consults with individuals internationally. She also teaches workshops and seminars and performs weddings and other ministerial functions. Now, tonight we're going to be discussing Michelle's book, Grihi, The Journey of Five. And this is Michelle's first of five books in an epic fantasies, Tales of Temur. Grihi has opened a new genre of a young adult metaphysical fiction. It's won two awards, NCPA's Best Juvenile Fiction and COVR Visionary Fiction Finalist. Now, COVR usually selects winners from the best products in the New Age and spiritual marketplace. And I've actually been reading the book. I'm sorry, Michelle, I didn't get through the book, but I've been reading the book. And it really is fascinating, interesting. I can understand how this can appeal to adults as well as children. Michelle, I'm just so excited to welcome you to the show. So
thanks
for being with us tonight.
It's exciting to be here.
Well, I really have been enjoying the book. I'm sorry that, you know, because of time constraints, me finding you and the amount of time that we had, by the time I got the book, with my schedule, I didn't have time to read it all. But I'm telling you, I'm almost like I want to hurry up and get over with the radio show so I can get back to the book. That's how I feel about the book.
Yes.
It's really good. It's wonderful.
I'm so happy to hear that. I've had such fantastic reviews on it, and it's a story that I just had to tell. Spirit has pushed me forward to tell this story, and I guess, you know, the world is going to love it because if you look at the fact that I won two awards, it blows my mind.
Well, I can see why. You know, I have to say that, you know, I have three grandchildren, and I see what toys and the video games and the different things that they have to offer children. And I usually work with my grandchildren quite a bit with visualization and those sort of things, teaching them about having a space in their head where they can go and meditate and that sort of stuff. And when I was reading this book, I can't wait for my granddaughter to get old enough so I can give this book to her so that she can read it. That's how much I loved it. Why don't you take a moment and maybe, you know, give us a little bit about the storyline of the book and maybe even explain how it is that you came to write this book, because I'm sure everyone would be fascinated.
Well, actually, the story goes back a long, long time ago when I was painting in my studio. I used to do fine arts. I have two BFAs. And at that time, in 1981, I had a studio, and I was painting, and as you told the audience, I've been a psychic since I was born, and I see things that other people, I guess, just are not soft-eyed enough to see, but we all have that ability. At any rate, a unicorn stepped into my studio, and he said he'd like me to paint his picture, and I told him, well, if you tell me a story, I'll paint your picture. And so he told me a story, which is the backstory to this book. And what I did was later on I felt pushed to start writing it when I was pregnant with my baby child, my baby girl. And that was back in November of 1984. And I started writing the book at that time. I followed the energy that the unicorn had presented me with. And so what I do is when I'm writing, I actually travel with these beings in their world and experience what they're experiencing. So it's not like I sit down and create a formula and say I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. I don't do that at all. I actually follow the energy, and then I do my best to give you enough information so that the reader can understand and feel everything that I'm feeling. Well, I began the book in November 1984, the manuscript, and then when I buried my little girl in April, I put the book down for quite a few years, and the spiritual being said that I would complete the book when the illustrator appeared. And in 2000, a friend of mine who I did not realize was an illustrator, I thought she was simply a fine arts metaphysician, and she was an illustrator. And I talked to her, and she says, well, I'd love to read your manuscript. And when she read the first chapter, she said, well, where's the rest of the book? And I actually completed it within just a few months after that.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the illustrator, because the pictures in the book are just, they're just gorgeous. They're just beautiful. But not only that, you know, maybe you'd like to share just a little bit about the story. What is the story?
Well, the story is about this lovely little dragon. His name is Greehy. And he's as the story opens, he's 13. He is not your typical dragon. In Timor, they have never seen a dragon who was kind, and he does not have any fierceness. He was born as a result of a prophecy. His mother died when he was born, and his father chose to take him and raise him. And his father is known as Tarim the Terrible, a truly fierce dragon. And Greehy wishes to have his father's love, which every child wishes. And so he is practicing the dragon art when the story opens, because he wants to become fierce. He wants his father to be proud of him. Unfortunately, it's not to be, because he is born as a result of a prophecy, and his purpose in life is much greater than just being a fierce dragon. And this is really the key to the whole theme of the book. We each come into physical bodies, and seldom do we have the awareness to know who we really are and to be conscious of what we're really here for. But every one of us has a magnificent gift to give as we weave this tapestry that becomes our lives intermeshed with other lives. So the book is really about learning to love who you are as you are, and for the rest of us to also recognize that our differences really are a gift to each other.
Right, right. And I think one of the things that through the story, you know, like taking it back to the reader, you know, that you're reading the story of the dragon, and it's speaking to you about your life and in more ways than you realize. And I think that's what's so mesmerizing about the book. What I really feel from you that you really have, you know, it's very important for you to write this book, that this is the primary message of the book, what you just said. Would that be safe to say?
I'd say so, and the feedback I've gotten from many different reviews, people really are feeling a connection to every single character in the book,
right.
And that's just, you know, a phenomenal statement. The connection to Greehy, every one of us has felt a state of abandonment of some kind in our lives, especially in our childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And we each have felt like we just don't fit the mold. We don't fit norm. And so we have to learn to be who we are. And it's not easy when you're an adolescent. That's where you're really tested. Will you do what everyone else tells you to do, or what society says you should do, or what your parents say you should be, or
mm-hmm.
or will you stand up and say, well, gee, this is what I like. I think this is who I am. Let me try this, and let me become more of who I feel
mm-hmm.
I am.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes a lot of courage.
Yeah, it does. It reminded me, I think one of the more profound books, The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz,
yes.
which really stresses to set aside what other people tell you who you are, but to decide who you are and to break agreements like where you've agreed with them perhaps that you can't sing or you're not artistic or whatever it might be, or maybe they want to fit you into the mold of, you know, it might be a family that, that finances and money is the most important thing, and so you're expected to follow along in those lines, you know. You've often heard stories of people who's, you know, you're supposed to run the family business. That's what you're supposed to do when you grow up, you know. And so that, to me, I mean, I really could see weaved in this tale a lot of the wisdom in that book as well. You know, it's almost as though you create us characters and you create us situations and scenarios that drive it home as far as being who you are rather than being what other people expect you to be. I just was, I mean, there's so much spiritual message in this book. I mean, your background shows just so much spiritual philosophy woven into it.
Yeah, I think you can't, you know, separate the who I am from how I write, and that's very, very true. And that's why so many adults are reading the book, because there is it's steeped in metaphysics, and it's funny how people will come to me and say, "Well, teach a basic metaphysics class for us," and part of me doesn't even know where to begin because it's been so much my life, my whole life, and. You can't separate me from it. It's impossible. So that's the way I see life. And as such, my characters will reflect that. And this book, of course, is called The Journey of Five. And there are five books in the series. But this is also The Journey of Five because it takes five to overcome the prophecy, to activate the prophecy and to overcome the evil at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a reflection of... who we are as a soul. We come into the lower world. Above is the pure positive God world where we as soul are in a constant state of ecstasy. And we come into the lower world, which you can define as you choose, but we call these the five levels. We call the physical level the emotional or astral level, the mental or conscious level, the etheric or subconscious level, and then the pure positive God world, the soul level. And the Journey of Five reflects that. There's a preponderance of each of these levels in each of the five main characters. So they represent that. When you come to a point in the book where the wizard gives each one of the five a potion, I don't know if you got to that part of the book yet, those potions reflect what is the key element to understanding the responsibilities and the strength that it takes to step beyond a particular level.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's an awful lot in there.
Yes. And, you know, you actually read and then you stop and you reflect is what I found myself doing. And I absolutely apologize for not getting through the entire book, as I said, but I know that I'm not going to stop reading it, which is, that says something, you know. I mean, it's absolutely something I want to pick up as soon as I hang up the phone from the show. I just want to finish it. It is that good. And I do see all of the various different philosophy that's interwoven into the words. I laughed quite a bit. You have some interesting characters in there. I quite liked Liz the librarian. I thought
BG.
I liked her. She was talking in rhymes and how you know that was difficult for Lonnie to understand, but I thought it was really great. So it's not only it's fascinating, it's interesting. But also you're learning things throughout it.
Yeah, you know what I like about the BG is she's kind of the psychic one in the land of the giants,
right.
And she's a librarian when you meet her.
Yeah.
At any rate, I think that many of us who are psychic, we do receive things in kind of a puzzling way.
Exactly. So, that's what I thought. I was like, my God, isn't that so true?
So I thought it was a great way to present her.
Oh yeah. Well, I got that. I totally got that. I thought, isn't that so true, that why does everything have to come in puzzles, or why do you have to discern or figure out what did that mean, you know? And I thought it was interesting she spoke in rhymes. So that was another thing that I really picked up on that was really adorable. Now, this is the first in a series of five, right?
Yes, it is.
And you have another. Are you starting the next one? Have you started?
I've already started the next one, and we are expecting to release the hardback collector's edition late next fall, 2008, and then the paperback hopefully will come out in January of 2009.
Right, right. And you also have some plans, because I was reading on your website, I saw part of a website for the book, but also it's going to be interactive. You're going to have, you know...
Yes, I have so many plans. The vision I see, I would like people... You know, not everybody is as visual as I am. I travel the inner world ever since I was a little kid, so, you know, I can slip out of this body very quickly and find myself in another place. But not everyone is that visual, and so I would love to have a place where children and adults can go to literally visit Timor, where you would be able to go on the Internet and travel through the land of Timor to visit his cave, to go to the library, to be in the land of the giants or the Mystic Mountain, or to travel through Wizard's Web.
Right.
So I have the vision of what I want to see, and it's just a matter of time before I connect with the right people who can help me make it happen.
Right. Well, I was looking over your numerology. Of course, you know I'm going to do that because I'm a numerologist, right?
Yes.
So, you know, I was like, yeah, of course. And obviously, you know, the metaphysical aspects, the fact that you come as a spiritual teacher is very obvious in your numbers. It's very much there. And also there's a part of you that's come in some capacity to build a dream. And I have to say that when I was looking at your chart and I'm looking through the next, 4 years at least, I mean, you have this really wonderful opportunity to build this website. You just dream that dream, and the people will come to you because you're in these 22 essences, which is master builder, which is building a dream. But it's also international, so I can really see where this book could take off and, like, go, you know, totally, like, just shoot through the moon here because you've got some extraordinary hardworking. I mean, there's a lot of hard work to be done, but, by God, you've got some essences that really are supportive of you really turning this into something far, you know, your dream, turning it into your dream.
Well, I really feel that that's true. And, of course, as an astrologer, I see some phenomenal aspects developing in my own chart.
Yeah.
Aspects that you don't always see in anyone's chart. So,
Well, I think it's supportive of you, right?
You know, to take advantage of that energy and to go with it. And my family frequently will say to me, you drive yourself so hard. It's your deadlines. Why do you have to drive yourself so hard? And I simply cannot explain to them that's what I am. I am driven. Spirit drives me. I am a vehicle for spirit. And I know, you know, I will accomplish whatever it is they want me to accomplish.
Well, I really can see that this, especially in these essences, certainly the pinnacle that you're in is all supportive of that. So, and, you know, your life path and your expression, you know, you are a teacher. So I really see this happening. Now, I did want to mention that you're donating a portion of book sales to the SPCA.
I do.
Yeah, and you can take a moment and maybe tell people why. And I think I heard a caller beep in, and caller, if you'll just hang in there for a second, we'll get right to you. But go ahead and answer about the SPCA, Michelle.
Well, you know, it's time that we as humans, who we've been given not only the job as being the crown chakra for the planet, where we are the voice of the planet, we are here to take care of all the creatures of this planet and to think of them as discretionary, to think of them as something that we can use and then abuse or throw away. That is to think improperly. All creation contains divine manifestation, and our domesticated creatures that we are extremely responsible for, since we are the ones who domesticated them, we need to acknowledge that. We can't be taking in an animal and then throwing it away like it's trash. People do that in this country, and I cannot stand to even think that that's going on. But the SPCA is a no-kill shelter, and it is growing it all over the country. And I want to see us support that. So in every single thing I do, whether it's a paperback book, a hardback book, a poster, a toy, it doesn't matter, a video game, we will always give a percentage of every single thing we do to the SPCA.
All right. Well, that's very commendable, Michelle, and I just wanted everyone to know that about you because that's very special. Now, do we have a caller online?
Yes.
Hi, who's calling?
This is Jeff from Tacoma.
It's who? I'm sorry, I didn't hear
Jess
you.
Jess from Tacoma. You do neurology?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. My birthday's 4/26/54.
Ah.
And it was 12:55 o'clock p.m.
Okay. Well, we have I'm sure that Michelle could also work a little magic with that. We were going to be opening up the lines in a little while, but I'll be happy to take your call. I had a schedule. Did you get that date of birth, Michelle?
No, actually, I could not quite make out what she said. So,
okay. Yeah, April 26, 1954.
April 26, 1954.
Right, and what?
12:55 o'clock p.m.
Okay, yeah, I can't run the actual chart, but I can certainly look up your date and see where your planets are right off the bat. Of course, we know you're Taurus, so we know right off the bat that there are things that you have to be careful of or be cautious of, that you don't become so fixed in attitudes or situations or overindulge yourself to where you get stuck. You want to make sure to take good care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Taurus is a wonderful, wonderful builder. Talking about builders, they are perseverers in that they like to attain things that are security for themselves, and they will work hard to have that. But what their biggest challenge is that they tend to become fixed in an attitude and don't always see around the corner. So they need to have people come in and kind of blast them free of that.
Mm.
So let's just take a quick look and see if that's the case. I don't know where you're. Mercury is. Mercury will also indicate some things. And you have your moon in Aquarius, so it's not a surprise that you're on the phone with us. People with moon in Aquarius are ones who are attracted to the unusual, the unique, and they have a need for friends who are different. They tend to be very good friends, and so I'm sure you probably are that to the people in your world.
Mm-hmm.
As far as your Mercury is concerned, it's at 21 Aries. So you are a person who you think aggressively, you go forward, you go after what you want with your mind, and you will be out there sometimes before you've connected the brain to the tongue. So you have to be careful of that.
Yeah. I was thinking of going into the law, learning some law stuff, but I don't know if that's a good move.
Let's see. Well, you know... that Mercury that you have, as long as we have a good foundation in the connection to Saturn, now your Saturn's at 6 Scorpio, so we really are not getting a strong connection between that. Let's see how your Mars is. But you do have your Mars is in Capricorn and your Saturn. So your Mars and Saturn are working together, and that can give you an energy that will allow you to set a foundation so that you don't just charge forward. So as long as you're capable of setting that foundation, you can go into the arena of law because your Mercury will let you be able to be aggressive enough to litigate. And so I think you have that power. What you will have to watch for is that your Saturn and your Mars are both making some actions to your moon that are stressful. So you may find that... there are times, well, this probably started with your mother and father. They may not have gotten along quite as well as you had wished. When you were being born, there was a square there, so they were not in the most loving manner for parents. They were not in a loving zone, which causes you to go back and forth in terms of your balance with your masculine and feminine energies. I would say that based on your combination, you will at times lean towards being very aggressive and going after what you want, and other times you feel that you're challenging your own femininity. So the best you can do with that combination is to set priorities for yourself. If you will do that, you can accomplish a lot and not feel the sense of frustration or stress that you would if you're just going at it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. So I was saying either metaphysical pursuits or a law.
Well, without seeing the whole chart, I can't absolutely give you that.
Well, I'm looking at
the spiritual beings, or perhaps Allison has a comment there.
Yeah, I have a comment here. You really have a great gift in carrying with you wisdom and spiritualness, and carrying that with you. It is your challenge, but it's also one of your greater gifts. I also feel as though on a verbal level, being able to speak and share that knowledge is also a gift, although you may feel inhibited or you may inhibit your own creativity, your own self. But I feel that if you can become comfortable with that, I think that you could actually, you know, excel in a spiritual arena. I do feel that after the age of 51, you've really gone into this time of change, of bringing to yourself new experiences, possibly changing your thinking. And it's going to be a little bit of a roller coaster ride for you from now on, where you're going to have some new opportunities brought to you and things. You know, things really, I don't really want to see you in the legal system, because if you're in a five pinnacle, things will not go according to plan. And, you know, with the legal aspects, everything has to be just so. And I really feel with the energy of this five pinnacle that's going to be affecting you for the rest of your life, you just have to expect the unexpected at all times. Mm. So I would shy away from the law, considering the fact that this is going to have a very strong influence on you over the rest of your life. But certainly the metaphysical aspects, your understanding of the spiritual, your connection to the psychic, your intuition, your gut feelings, it's been a challenge for you, but it's also one of your greatest gifts. It's showing here in your challenges.
I think I should develop my intuition or into metaphysical pursuits.
Yes, I see
I'd
it.
I'd be happier there.
Yeah, I see it there in your challenges. Whenever you have a challenge to something, it actually means you're incredibly gifted at it. So you really...
Right.
Yeah, you're very gifted at it. So.
What field in metaphysics would I should develop? Clairvoyant or...
I would think that for you, I think that you have a very analytical mind. I think that you have the kind of mind that's very, you know, one step at a time. And I think you have to step outside of yourself a little bit. And I really think that you need to, how that information comes to you, you might... Maybe more intuitive gut feelings. I don't know. I would just see what I'm drawn to. I really believe that if we want to step into that arena with something having to do with the metaphysical, we just really need to go where we're drawn. It's just like myself. You know, I tried to study astrology. It went in one ear and out the other. I tried to study palmistry. That, too, went in one ear and out the other. Well, as soon as I picked up a numerology book, it was just something that was meant to be because I understood and comprehended it. I think that when you meet the right tool, when you understand, you'll know it when you see it. You just maybe practice with a few things, see what, you know, mm-hmm. work with it a little. I think this year, I think you're going to have significant changes next year, okay?
Yeah.
Significant changes with what you're doing, possibly being offered something different in a different arena. So look to next year for maybe even bringing those changes to yourself where you might take yourself off in another direction. Okay?
Yeah, I want to add, your year kind of starts to kick off, actually, at the end of this year, where Jupiter will activate your Mars and your Saturn, and next year Saturn will be playing this grand trine in your chart, so we'll be activating your opportunities. It's like a doorway that will open up for you.
Right.
And it's a doorway that sets a new foundation. It's a doorway that can help you... like a surgeon, go beyond the veil to understand what's there. What are the foundations of power, is the statement. So, yes, I see good things happening. And at the same time, I have to say there will be two areas that you will excel in. So will it be the law? I don't know. You know, I have to agree with Allison, because what I see is I see you flaming. And flaming to me means that you are lit up with inspiration and passion, and you're opening a doorway for a whole new beginning. And that's usually where we stand up and we become truly who we are.
Oh.
And you have tremendous abilities to be a teacher.
To be
okay,
a teacher.
Okay, was that helpful, Jess?
Pardon?
Was that helpful to you?
I can't hear that well. What'd you say?
The information, the numerology and the astrology, did that make sense and was that helpful to you?
Yeah, I guess so. I think maybe metaphysical would be my passion. But I got to find my place in it.
Well, you know, that's where you ask for guidance, and certainly you have that ability. So yeah. I would ask for some signs and some guidance. Do some serious meditation. Certainly pay attention to, you know, really, if you feel what brings you joy, what brings you happiness, that's your best guidance system. And if the metaphysical makes you happy, then just follow it. Just follow the joy.
Just
got to
find the niche. I just don't know any. I don't know what my skills are in, you know, like clairvoyance or anything like that. So I don't know.
Well, this is really a good question, Michelle. And I think a lot of people that are listening, I find that when I'm doing numerology for people, they don't realize what exactly is clairaudience, clairvoyance, clairsentience. It's like, you know, they assume that clairvoyance means they're going to see something around the corner or visually see it with their eyes, not understanding that they can see it in their mind's eye. Mm-hmm. When it comes to clairaudience, they think that they would hear voices, but you can hear something very strong that comes outside of you, a voice in your head. Have you taken some classes, Jess, on that?
Yeah. Different classes, yeah.
Do you know which one you feel stronger with? Do you get gut feelings? Does your body feel things?
I like to see, things of the future or, visions and stuff.
You see visions?
I've had some, but I'd like to get more into it.
Well, I think meditation is always it's really, sometimes you have to do the work and, honor the divine within you. And by doing that, that's setting up a specific time every day to do your meditation, to make that connection, to raise your vibration. It is something that you really need to commit to. And I would suggest just really committing to that. And I'm sure you'll be shown, Jess. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Okay, I'm not exactly sure where we were, but I hope that was helpful for her. It's kind of interesting how the numerology and the astrology are kind of sort of saying the same thing, don't you think?
My experience is they always will, and it doesn't matter which point in metaphysical understanding you take, they will always confirm each other.
Right. Now, before we get any more calls, and I guess what I'll do is I might as well open up the lines. You can actually answer a lot of questions about a lot of things. Certainly, the two of us can, look at astrology and numerology together. A lot of the people that call in have already had me do their numerology. They may specifically want to speak to you, and that's fine by me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be happy to take the night off. But anyhow, they can ask you questions about their astrology. You also, if they had a dream and they would like to share that with you, you do dream interpretation.
Absolutely.
Anything about metaphysics whatsoever, someone such as Jess that's having problems trying to figure out, what they're...
Yeah, one of the questions I was going to ask her while you were trying to help her define where am I most directed, and anyone who's listening can ask themselves this question. How do I speak when I am with other people? Do I say, do you understand? Do you see what I mean? Are you hearing me?
Yeah, right. That's
when you say those things, you're really indicating where your greatest process is.
Mm-hmm.
So that can help you realize, that you might be kinesthetic or auditory or visual.
Right.
And most psychics have a predominance in one and two areas, and as you develop psychically, you will eventually become very capable in all three.
Right. Okay, well, see, that's just it. They can ask you questions about anything having to do with metaphysics whatsoever. Michelle really has been teaching for, over 30 years?
Yeah, I guess it's been quite a while.
I think you got the answers by now.
72, so.
She's got the answers. Okay. So anyhow, everyone, if you're listening, and also one of the things that you had said to me in one of our phone calls was that you would even talk to the listeners about, maybe they're writing a book and maybe they're interested in, and this is one question that I do want to ask you. What your best advice is, but if they're writing a book and they have a question about that, they could also talk to you. So let me open up the lines here and let everyone know what to call. You can call toll-free at 877-876-5227. That's the USA. You also can call toll-free at 888-815-9756. That's for Canada. And certainly you can call direct in California at 530-876-3222. Now make sure you turn down those speakers or step into another room so that we don't get the feedback and so we can hear you. And I want to remind everybody that you're listening to BBS Radio, the number one worldwide talk radio station on the planet. And we're talking to Michelle Avanti this evening. She is a award-winning author, journalist, and she's a metaphysical minister and teacher. She's written this really wonderful book, Griheath, A Journey of Five. Michelle, take a moment. Tell everyone the websites.
The book can be, you can view more information about it on talesoftomorrow.com. That's TalesOf, T as in Tom, A, M as in Michael, OOR.com. Or you can go to Amazon and you can find it on Amazon. And this coming January, we will nationally release the paperback, and once that's out, you'd be able to pick it up. Really, you could go into any bookstore and ask for it.
Right. And also, Michelle, you have a personal website if someone wanted to get a hold of you for, let's say, an astrology reading or psychic reading or even for workshops and things like that. Can you give them that information?
Absolutely. It's astrologyandmore.com, AstrologyandMore.com.
Wonderful. And I do believe we have another caller. Hello, caller. Who's calling?
Hi, Allison. This is Jean. Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
I just had a quick question. I wondered, my husband put in for a management job, and I wondered if you see him getting it.
Well, did you want to give us the date of birth? And Michelle would need the time, I think.
Well, actually, I figured it was a psychic question, and they're saying, yes, he's going to get it.
Oh, okay.
So they're just coming straight across. They're saying it's a logical step for him, and it's a logical choice for them, and it looks like it's going to be quite good. They're saying that he is going to love it, and they will love him, and through this experience, he is going to transform in many ways. He's going to rip away the past and step into a much more, I want to say, an active, passionate space.
Great. So do you see it happening soon?
Well, how soon? That's a very good question. Yeah, it could be pretty quick. They seem to be indicating within about 4 weeks.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so that's pretty fast, I think.
That's pretty fast. Okay, that sounds wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Jean.
Bye-bye.
Okay, well, that was way quicker. Wonderful. Psychic, good. Right to the source.
Yeah, psychic abilities are really fast.
There you go. Well, hey.
You have to kind of look at every detail.
Right. Well, see people, you can call in and ask her a question and see what kind of an answer you get. Now, Michelle, I did want to ask you because you did say that, you would talk to the listeners, what would be your best advice? Let's say somebody's out there, let's say they have a book or they're planning to write a book. Such as yourself, what you've done, what would be your best advice? I don't think that we could follow the method that you use to write your book because not too many of us, a unicorn appears in our studio and tells us a story, but what is your best advice for writing a book and
getting
it published?
Well, I think, the very first piece of advice anyone should give a person regarding writing a book is you should always write from what you know. Write from your passion, write from your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're excited about the possibility of writing a book, then you need to ask yourself, what story in my life or around me intrigues me and am I passionate about? I just got an email from one of my clients of many years, and she has just written a book about her son who died about a year ago and his incredible life.
Mm-hmm.
And she's very passionate about that. So the book is very well written, and that's what it takes. It takes passion because writing, we can romanticize it, but it really is sitting down and doing the work.
Right.
And you have to be dedicated to that. People ask me, how many hours a day do you write when you write? And I'll get up at 8 in the morning, start at 8, I'll break for lunch and I'll break for a walk, and then I'll finish up about 8 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
So I put in a full 12-hour day, and that's really a complete day.
Right, that's a lot of work.
Yes.
All right, that's great advice. I know we have a caller. Who's calling, please?
Hi, my name is Ann.
Hi, Ann. How are you?
I'm good, and you both?
Very good. You have a question for Michelle?
It's kind of a general question, and I've been having a lot of strange dreams, and I don't know if you need my birth information.
Why don't you tell me what you mean by strange?
Well, let's just say maybe strange is not the proper word. I believe very spiritual, actually.
Oh, that's wonderful. Do you have dreams with a lot of water in them?
I have had water dreams, river dreams as well. Almost, you know, surreal.
Mm-hmm. Do you find yourself in the water or drowning in the water or transforming through the water?
Actually, viewing the water from, I guess, maybe a self-imposed sort of a, not really a prison per se, but just kind of caught in a place that I felt I couldn't get out of, and then suddenly a window opening up and seeing a river with all sorts of unusual things cruising by on it, and that actually wasn't the dream I was even going to talk about, but since you mentioned the water.
That's a very powerful dream. You know, dreams are your higher self communicating with you about things that you may not be listening to them about, okay? Your higher self is always looking out for your best interest to help you achieve what it is you came here to achieve, to help your life go as smoothly as possible. Spirit does not want you to chafe and experience troublesome times, but to rather experience a more glide through life, and to stand at a window and feel barred from that river, and then to have the window open and to be able to see and experience what's going on there is a statement that it's time to free yourself from whatever prison you have created that has kept you from your own spiritual walk.
Yeah.
And it's time for you to step out. You should be in that water. You should be enjoying that water, because water is one of the only really universal. There are only a couple of very universal symbols in dreams, and water is one of them. Water always represents consciousness, as do vehicles. So your higher self is saying it's time. Get out of the tower and get into life.
It was sort of strange, because it was almost like a parade on the water of just kind of unusual characters going by. It just sort of reminded me of, you know, when Dorothy was flying through the air in the Wizard of Oz and just seeing all these crazy things going by. And one of the strangest things I saw was sort of a raft being pulled by a boat with three black dogs on it.
A raft being pulled by a boat with three black dogs?
Yeah.
Now, what does black represent to you?
I have no idea, but...
Oh, no, just give me your very first thought when I say the word black. Is there fear connected to it? Is there excitement or interest or curiosity or...
Well, certainly it's a benign thing. It's nothing scary to me at all.
That's good, because, you know, it... Black is part of the void, and the void is the space of creation. And we as women, we are connected to the space of creation. We are the creators. And so, yeah, black is a wonderful color. It's also the secrets of the universe. So to have three dogs, what does the number three mean to you?
You know, once again...
What do you think when I say three? A lot of people think of the Trinity.
Well, I think three is to me probably one of the most mystical or sacred, you know, like, you know, pyramids or, you know.
That's good. And then dogs. What do dogs mean to you?
Just loving, I don't know.
Most people would say loving and loyal.
Yeah, yeah.
Those would be the key words. So being pulled behind a boat on a raft, fascinating statement. What did the boat look like?
Well, I wasn't even going to get into this dream. It was a different one I called about, but since you mentioned it, I'm almost embarrassed to tell you. It was a character. It was a human being on this boat. And as I looked through this sort of surreal sort of a window looking out of this whole scene on the river, this individual I was looking at who was in this boat pulling the raft looked like a very young John Ritter, of all things. I mean,
okay, so did he look? He looked to you. Were you attracted? Do you consider that attractive?
No, I mean, I've never had a fantasy about this person. I never even liked, you know, that TV show he was on. You know,
I think that's interesting. So if you didn't really like the character that was traveling on the boat,
but he had the most beautiful smile. He was smiling at me. I mean, you know, it was just sort of an angelic.
No, I was going to say, I bet that there was kind of an angelic energy that came across.
Absolutely.
Because it seems to me that picture is one where you're being told, right now you are traveling down a river, okay? You are traveling, perhaps on the boat, which is more about the worldliness, okay? But inside is all the angelic principles, and you know they're there, and you feel them. And what you're dragging behind you is your mysticism. It's time to cut the raft free of the boat and travel freely in the creative process, in the divinity or in the majesty of mystery.
You know, as I contemplated this dream for several days after, and you always know when it's a dream versus something much, much more, and this I knew was clearly a message being sent to me, and I mulled it over, and I mean, I still mull it over, but I frankly sort of came to not the same exact conclusion of you, but I, you know, something very, very similar.
Mm-hmm.
And since that time, if I can just very quickly tell you the other dream, which is really the reason I called you.
Okay.
It was, this one has just really sort of knocked my socks off. It's not the only one, but it's probably been the most meaningful. It was nighttime. It was a starry, starry night. It was very dark. And I just found myself in the company of a couple of strangers. It could have even been three people, but definitely two. And I think that they were men, or at least males. And I'm staring up at the sky, and I didn't recognize these guys.
Mm-hmm.
I'm staring up at the sky, and there's three hot air, at least what I thought, were hot air balloons. And mind you, this was at night.
Mm-hmm.
And these hot air balloons were in the shape of a pyramid. And the unique thing about these balloons was that they looked like, each one looked like a kaleidoscope. And I'm looking up at them just sort of in awe. And I, just really brilliant colors. And I turned to the guy who was closest to me, and he was holding something like a tool or an instrument. And I don't know what it was, but I just remember him holding this thing. But I was so distracted by these hot air balloons, I looked at him and I said to him, you know, how many people do you think are up there? And he looked at me and he said, one.
He said what?
One.
One.
And, of course, when you're in a dream state, it doesn't, regardless of what the conversation is, you just sort of accept what you hear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, okay, you know, that makes sense. I didn't question it, and then shortly thereafter I woke up, and of course, this I knew immediately. I wrote it down because I was
This one is quite a powerful dream, too.
Yeah.
It's a step beyond the other dream.
Yeah, yeah.
And the fact that there were two people with you, you were the third. So it did make three, so you had the power. And the fact that he told you there is only one up there, he is referring to you, of course.
Yeah, right.
And the pyramid shapes and the kaleidoscope energy. Fascinating.
I could
ask you quite a few questions to get more of the energy of it, but right off the bat I would tell you, and I'm sure you already know this, you have the ability to travel, whether that is in the physical or on the inner planes. And
you mean like an astral traveling?
We can call it astral traveling. I call it soul traveling because you can do it astrally in the beginning, but eventually you'll become so conscious and so clear that you will realize that you're simply shifting gears to the different levels of spirit.
Right.
So it's really moving you and your soul, and it's just shifting your consciousness as soul, not just carrying your astral body or dragging the light line. You don't have to do those things. But you can start there, and that's fine.
This is so involuntary, and I always try before I go to bed to, I talk to my spirit guides, even though it's, you know, always a one-way conversation.
But it's not. It's not a one-way conversation. You're just not recognizing immediately what they are responding to you with. But they are always responding to you. They respond to all of us. And it's time you defined how you want their response you are looking for too much, you're listening too hard. Instead, you may want to ask them, just bring it to me face to face. Bring someone to me who will speak your words. Or I'll have a sacred book here, and whenever I speak to you, I'll just open it and you can speak through it. There's lots of methods you can use. It's up to you to use them.
Yeah.
You can define how the spiritual beings will work with you. We all have that right. If some people use it with music. You can turn the radio on, and whatever's on the radio all of a sudden is speaking to you.
I'm just wondering if I'm doing too many different things, and I just need to start focusing on one particular medium or venue. Or
well, it doesn't look like you're that kind of person, actually. To streamline and just keep one singular focus does not appear to be who you are.
You're right.
So I would not do that, because
okay.
It would actually stress you, and that will not make things more clear. It will do just the opposite. So laughter, on the other hand, will open up doors. So you need to laugh a little more.
Yeah. Well, I have a pretty good sense of humor.
Yes, I'm sure you do.
But I pretty much try and dabble in a lot of different things, and I'm always sort of all over the place figuring that, you know, if I cover all bases, there's something that's got to give.
Well, you should be getting something from everything you investigate.
Right.
There's a gift in everything.
Hold on.
I would love to let you ask another question, absolutely would, but we really are coming to the end of the show,
okay.
And
okay.
I don't know if I have that much time, unless, Michelle, you can answer it in 1 minute. That's it. That's all you got.
You can throw it out there, and we'll see.
I was just going to say, if I gave you my birth date, if there was anything in a minute you could just tell me.
Well, I could just let the spiritual beings ask you. But, I'd like to hear your birth date, actually, because I'm curious what air sign you might be if you're an air sign.
No, I'm not. I'm June 28th.
Okay, so you're Cancer, but that's what they originally said to me. I should have figured you must be Cancer.
And that's 1955.
Yeah, they just in 1 minute. Okay, the spiritual beings are saying, speak your truth, say what you want clearly to them, and it will be delivered. You're going to see changes over the next 2 months, and doorways will open for you. Stop attaching yourself to failure and leave that thought completely out of your world. Whatever's happened in the past, you need not fear it in the future. They're saying, stay clear, and you are pretty good at handling the details, so just keep doing it. Your writing down, journaling is huge.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you, Anne, for calling. We appreciate
thank
you.
Thank you both.
Have a wonderful night.
All right. Bye-bye. Wonderful. Wonderful. You know what she said? The one thing she said that piqued my interest was, like, in dreams where you... You automatically take what they're saying because you're dreaming, and so you just, it makes sense. What do you make of someone, and just real quick, that I'm constantly waking myself up because I know what they're, you know what I mean? I'm waking myself up. I'm awake in the dream.
Yes.
Constantly.
Well, that's great, because that's the next movement. You can start taking control of your dream state and move
right.
forward.
It does drive you crazy a little bit, though, because you're sitting there. Usually about the time that I wake myself up in the dream and realize that I'm dreaming, and then I realize that I need to remember what it is I'm seeing or hearing, and then I actually wake myself up, which...
Well, you know, if you wake yourself up in the dream state, you can make a command to have clarity and no more symbolism.
Right, well...
Then you can just remember whatever key lines they need to give you.
Right.
It'll be easy to remember.
Okay, well, we've got to end the show. Michelle, fascinating. I have a feeling that we could probably have you on many, many times and not get to all the questions that everyone would like to ask you. I mean, you're just so well-rounded. You just have so much wisdom, so much knowledge. You are a spiritual teacher, and the book was marvelous. So one more time, give your websites.
Astrologyandmore.com. You just write the whole set of words out, astrologyandmore.com, and talesoftamore.com, talesoftam, as in Michael, OOR.com.
Right. And really, people, this book would be, not only for yourself, a wonderful book to read, but certainly if you have young adults, young children, this would be a beautiful book to read to children and young adults. It's just fabulous, and it's a great way to teach them self-love. And so for what it's worth, I highly recommend it. This is Allison Lynch, and Allison Lynch Bogman, excuse me. Hello, I'm going back a few centuries. Very happy to have you, Michelle. And everyone, we're so happy to
those of you that called in, those that listened. We appreciate you. Michelle, you going to join us again sometime?
Anytime you call me.
Wonderful. So in the meantime, everyone, thank you for joining us. Have a wonderful evening, abundant blessings, and good night. Good night, Michelle.
Good night.
Thank you for joining us this evening. For more information, or if you wish to contact Allison for a reading, please visit www.visiblebynumbers.com or email Allison at alynch@ptd.net. Have a wonderful evening and be well.
Some people measure things like diamond rings. They look at all the things you have like a photograph. So if I had to make a choice, I would use my voice. Tell the world that I'm fulfilled and it's God's will to tell you why I'm singing.